Good day to be here. I wondered several months ago if I'd ever be able to stand and do this again. About 10 months ago or so, I actually thought I might be dying. I had a second stent fitted to my heart. It didn't seem to work. I was even more breathless than before. Which was interesting, and more lifeless than ever. They sent me to the cardiac department at Worthing, take you to a sports hall, which worries you, because they're going to have you running a marathon, and all they do is they lay out some cones between here and where Gareth is, and you're meant to sort of walk around them, just like this, and a certain speed. Well, I couldn't manage one lap. I wondered, and then I had a nasty incident where Lynn had to call the ambulance, and I really did wonder, I couldn't speak properly, if I might die. Well, I didn't die, but it does focus you a little bit, doesn't it, when things like that happen. So I dare say this is rather focusing my dear friend Gerald as well. What I've learnt is that God's always good. All right, and sometimes we have to go to near the edge sometimes to discover that God is good, God is faithful, and as he reminded me in the car this morning, I've not had such a sense of the presence of God in my car for a long time, probably because I drive so badly, that I'm always with you, Brian. When you recognise it, and when you don't. And when you feel so unwell sometimes, anyone ever felt like that and you've had all sorts of things happen, you can't focus on God too well. And some of the habits that you have that help you, the reading of the word and the praying, it's just too hard to pray. You can't find any energy to read if you can see the thing. But God never leaves us. He's always with us. That's absolutely nothing to do with the sermon today, but it might have something to do with next time, because I want us to understand the Lord is with your pastor. He made no mistake in calling him. I knew that from the moment I spoke to the man on the phone. You know, he is God's man. He is a man whose eyesight might not be very good. He wasn't good before he started. He only had one eye, but he's a man who sees visions of God, who understands what's on the Father's heart for you. He's a man of immense spiritual sight. He can see spiritually very clearly when he feels like it and when he doesn't feel like it. He can't help it. That's what God's put on the man. And he's got visions of God that he will still share with you. If I suggest that you do anything when you pray, and the next time I come, I'm going to talk about prayer as a gift from God for us, a gift of God's grace. This church gave birth to a ministry that I was involved with, where I went and taught on prayer to over 70 churches. And this was the first one. My friend Gareth managed to manipulate it somehow, so you were the guinea pigs. And in fact, I even mentioned one of you almost at every place I went to preach on prayer. If I can keep it short, keep it simple, if your child wants something, they say, Mummy or Daddy, can I have? Don't they? Yes. And what do you say? No. Keep asking me. And when you're really at the lowest point, I might let you have a little something. Because we don't. We want to do our very best for our kids. And that's exactly, let's be bold enough to ask God for something. Let's be bold enough that the scriptures tell us, not yesterday, but now, to trust in God now. So we trust it that the pastor will have his eyesight, physical eyesight, one eye only. I haven't got faith for the other one at the minute, to be restored. I've listened to so much drivel in prayer. Is there any way to describe it? Drivel. We talk and talk and talk at God, and he can't answer anything because you haven't asked him anything. You haven't actually asked the Father for anything. We go, oh, dear Lord, in your mercy we pray that you will hear our prayers, and we thank you for this, that, and the other that's all gone on in the past, because I haven't got around to asking you because I'm a bit scared, just in case you say no. That's all he can do is say no. So we can ask God to heal our brother, can't we? And if he decides to say no, he's God. But if he decides to say, we've asked, and we're going to believe until we can't believe. King David had an example of that. When his affair with Bathsheba, and the child was born, and the child was seriously ill and died. Remember that story? I've got that right, haven't I? And he carried on praying, and then he said, nothing, it hasn't happened, I'm going to stop. So it's a time to pray and a time to stop. So will you with me say, leave off the silliness. I prayed around a lady who had a heart problem at Littlehampton Baptist Church. Lovely lady. And all the people prayed these lovely prayers. And I felt, nobody's actually asked the Father to do anything. Because we're scared to. Let's not be scared. Faith is the opposite of fear. So at the moment, we trust the Lord. Because sometimes he hasn't answered us. No. But that was sometime then. I've seen a few miracles. I haven't seen hundreds, but I've seen enough to know that God will answer the prayer of faith. The problem is it faith or just my wishful thinking? We need to hear what God wants. That's the number one thing. So less words and more listening is important. Here endeth my free prayer workshop. So less words, but be specific to our God. The story of the Korean pastor, Paul Yonggi Cho, who led a revival. And he was a poor man, actually, in Korea. And he needed a bike to visit his friends and to visit around. Because the bike he had was wrecked. And he prayed. He said, Lord, I want a bike. I want a bike. Give me a bike. And the Lord didn't answer his prayer. He said, Lord, I want a bike. I need a bike. Why haven't you answered my prayer? You know I need this for my ministry. Lord, be good for him. Give me a bike. The outcome was when he stopped and listened to the Lord said to him, what sort of bike? What make would you like, son? If you've ever read his book, made me stop and think. And you know, sometimes our prayers can do that. You're all good parents. So if you want to do good for your kids, don't you? And so does God. So let's be positive with that. Let's believe until... If we have to stop believing that prayer, then we'll pray for something else. But at the moment, we're going to pray specifically for that. Good? Amen. Thank you. I haven't told you off. I just want to sort of encourage you, really. Because having had a brush with death and illness and being debilitated in a way, I had to ask myself a question. If you could just have one last preach, what would you want to say? If this was your last thing. So what I'm sharing with you today, now, is what the Lord put on my heart. And I've shared this message with other churches because I don't know. We never know how long we might have to do that. So, or if you can do it again, who knows? So if this was my last message, what have I learned? What's of eternal importance? Because I know that when I was 17, the Lord came looking for me. He came looking for me, and he found me. changed my life. And when I was 30, the Lord came looking for me to seek me out to be a minister. A kid who left school at 15. A kid who at one time lived in a slum. A kid who really had a little business that God had given him that was more interested in making money than serving God. But he sought me out. He came looking for me. Why? They're the questions I think about. So John chapter 1. Are you still with me? Good. John chapter 1, verses 14 to 17. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I'll miss out verse 15 because it doesn't relate to what we're talking about today. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's right hand, the only begotten Son, it should say in another translation, has made him known. John and the disciples of old were witnesses and receivers of the grace of God. They were witnesses and receivers of Jesus' fullness, Jesus' abundance of grace and truth. First thing to note, because today I want to focus afresh on the concept of the grace of God. I don't know why he came looking for me. His grace sought me out. But I want us to focus on the grace of God, because they were witnesses of Jesus, who was full of grace and full of truth. He supplied, the Amplified Bible says, one grace upon grace, one grace after another. I want you to note two things. We too are witnesses and receivers of God's grace. Witnesses of God's grace in Christ. We are to be witnesses, and we are witnesses of all that he's done and all that he's doing. And it's the first thing, we're not just witnesses. Of grace and truth. Jesus' Jesus is full of grace and truth. He came seeking me. And one of the meanings of grace is that God comes looking for us. God comes looking for you and looking for me in Christ. And when I was 17, I wasn't looking for him. But he was definitely looking for me. I didn't deserve to be looked at by God, nor did you. But he came seeking me out. Jesus, full of grace and truth. I want you to note that we are witnesses But the second thing it's worth noting, that grace comes before truth. We have to receive the grace of God to understand the truth of God. We have to receive Jesus' grace so it helps us see the truth. The truth is in Jesus. The grace is in Jesus. He's full of both of them. He's abounding in it, overflowing in grace and truth. But if I just focus on the truth, I end up like a Pharisee. I can only live in the truth through the grace of God. I can only function, I can only change because of the grace of God. I can only believe the correct things and try and live the correct things by the grace of God. It's not the other way around. The Pharisees were very good. They had 600 plus rules, but it didn't get them close to God. So, grace. I'm sorry, I sort of lost my way with the first bit of what I was talking about, so that's why you had a bit of a pregnant pause there, really. Whatever a pregnant pause is, I'm not at all sure, but I'm sure it means something. We know, don't we, because you are clever. I want to look at a little bit of the grace of God today again. We understand that this word here, the Greek word for grace is charis. Yes? Do we know that? Didn't you? Oh, well, there we are then. Oh, well, I feel quite intelligent now. The Greek word is charis. It's a nice modern name that people use for their daughters and things. But actually, charis, that is the Greek word here for grace. And it means unearned, undeserved favour and the spiritual blessing of God, it says in the Amplified Bible. Grace here, charis, means unearned, undeserved favour and spiritual blessing of God. Don't we understand grace a little bit more? We need to go back into the Old Testament, though, as well. There are two what they call grace words in the Old Testament that are used to describe the grace of God. Are you ready for a couple of Hebrew words now? I always remember, Gareth, I think in your front room, you invited me up and I said, I've gone to Bible college now and I'm learning to read and write. And I said, Hebrew. And some young guy who was sitting in your front room at the time wrote me a note. You remember that? In Hebrew. I literally had a handful of words I'd learnt. I hadn't learned it. I couldn't learn a language, not like that. And this guy wrote me this note, and I had to say, thank you very much indeed. It was lots of dots and squiggly things that the Hebrew language is written in, particularly ancient Hebrew. This was modern Hebrew. He'd been on a kibbutz. So I was certainly out of my best not to boast about anything. But I do know these two words that are for grace in the Old Testament, all right? They are this. That one's called Hesed, C-H-E-S-E-D, Hesed, and the other one is called Hen. Right, so with me, Hesed, and Hen. Right, we're better off to drop the C off of it so that you won't spit at each other. All right, you can drop the C off to say it perfectly well. So it's Hesed, and Hen. Ooh, Hen, you might remember that. The pastor talked about not telling us to pray short and simple prayers, but also to a couple of Hebrew words here. And this word hesed means God's, it's mentioned a lot in the Old Testament. You'd have to look it up for yourselves, but it means God's steadfast love, his loyal love, his mercy, his loving kindness and his faithfulness. They're all wrapped up in that word hesed, God's steadfast love, his loyal love, his mercy, his kindness, his faithfulness. It's used a great deal in the Psalms, that word. And it is, to use technical jargon, a legal covenant word. Okay, so God's steadfast love, his law, love, his faithfulness. It's wrapped up in legal jargon, if you like. In other words, it's binding on God, and it's binding on us. Psalm 103. Says this in part, verse 17, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness is with their children's children, and those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. So, can you see, for God's love to be binding on us in that sense, we have to do something. We have to respond. We have to observe. It's a legal covenant word, binding on God and binding on us. Both parties have to faithfully observe and follow the conditions. The Lord's love, mercy is on those who fear him, and his righteousness, those who keep his covenant. It's a two-way, if you like, form of conditional grace. Can you see what I'm trying to say to you? It's a conditional grace. And it's bound up with God is always faithful. He's always loving, always kind. But we have a problem with some of that, don't we? You see, it's a two-way conditional grace. It's limited to my response, my faithfulness, my loyalty. St. Paul puts it like this in Romans chapter 7. If you read Romans chapter 7, it's a bit of an interesting read. He says, the good I want to do, I can't do. And the good that I want to do, I can't do either. You know, who's going to save me from this? The things that I know I should do, I don't do. And the things that I really don't want to do, I keep on doing. What a wretched person I am. Because actually, however hard we try, we can't maintain covenant relationship with God. It's not possible. Is it? Well, you're looking very... Don't look so stern at me this morning. I'm worried enough as it is. My heart is bad. Somebody said, history past Adam would have no sequel if it was left to us. History past Adam would have no sequel if it was left to you and I. We simply can't maintain relationship with God. We need help. We need his help. We need unearned and undeserved favour of God. We can't do it on our own. So don't fool yourself when you think, oh, yes, I can. I'm good at this. I'll be able to do this. I've lived the life because I've been disciplined. I've led the life because every morning at 7:30 I read the scriptures. I've led the life because I don't criticise my neighbours. Really? You're only able to do that because of the grace of God. I'm only able to walk the walk, not because I've got some sort of inner discipline. I haven't. I find it really difficult to do some of that stuff. So only by the grace of God can I change. So we need to understand this second little word, which is hen. All right, because this is not the same sort of word at all. It only appears 64 times in the Old Testament. Well, John, you can look that up in your lexicon at home or whatever. 64 times this word, hen. And it translates the same as the word charis in the New Testament. All right? It's, if you did read Jeremiah 31, verse 2. Perhaps I should follow Jeremiah 31, verse 2. you probably missed this little verse, and you've missed a little word. Jeremiah 31, verse 2. The people have disobeyed God. They're far away from God. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the clans of Israel, and they will be my people. This is what the Lord says. The people who survive the sword will find favour in the desert. That word translates as hen, will find grace in the desert. They will find undeserved, unearned favour from God. And I will give rest to Israel. You want to read that on? That's quite interesting. But it's just to give you an understanding that it's a different sort of word. It's something that we can't do anything about. Hen, then, this word hen or grace, is the loving action of a superior to an inferior, or from God to sinful human beings. From a superior to an inferior, and it can't be earned. Okay, can't be earned. Hen, then, or grace, is God in Christ acting alone to help, rescue, save and restore lost mankind. It's a gift from God. Grace is a gift from God, freely given. It's not a loan. You won't be able to pay it back. You can't pay it back. I've been trying to pay it back, but you won't be able to. Oh, I try very hard. You know, and I've determined with God this year I'm going to read the Bible in 6 months and I'm going to pray more and I should be doing... Yeah, but actually, that won't pay a penny off the debt that's owed. We can't earn the favour of God. In other words, we can't do God a favour. God doing us a favour in Christ, a big favour, can't be repaid. It's a one-way action from God the Father, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. It's one way. We can't help or self-improve. We simply have to receive the help that God gives us. When I come next time, I should talk about prayer as not a duty, not prayer as something that you must do, but it's something that you carry around in you because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. I said that here many, many years ago, because it's the thing that I never felt qualified to teach on prayer, because I felt I didn't pray enough, I didn't believe enough, I didn't do enough of it, I didn't have enough words. I wasn't very good at it. And it wasn't until I realised that this is a gift of God's grace given to us at salvation that enabled me to teach on prayer, to unlock a door for me to see this beautiful gift that God's given us. You see, we can't improve. We just have to receive what Jesus is offering. Receivers, as I said at the beginning. Jesus' mission is to seek and save the lost. That's what his declared mission was. And it cost him everything. People say, what you're describing, Brian, if I can't do anything, it's cheap grace. No, it's not. There's nothing cheap about grace. It cost Christ everything. It cost him the glory of heaven. It cost him his very life on earth. Spat upon, despised and rejected. Hung up naked on a tree. He did it all for us. And I can't add anything to that. All I can do is marvel and receive it. Oh, you see, it cost Jesus everything to rescue me and you. So the last thing I want to say to you is this, that grace... This word hen, grace in Hebrew, and grace, charis in Greek, has at its very heart God in his immense love comes seeking us out. He comes seeking us out. You might have been born in a Christian family. That does not make you a child of God. I met people chasing me around in Egypt saying, look, I've got a cross tattooed on here. Trying to sell me some sort of hooky t-shirt when we got off a boat somewhere. I'm a Coptic Christian. You can't be born a Christian. We have to accept the grace of God to be born into God's family. It's completely at God's door. He's made it all available for us. You see, it's the core of it is He comes looking for us. Adam and Eve sinned, and they're hiding. Stitched some fig leaves together and wandering around in the Garden of Eden. And what do we see? And it says that God came walking in the garden and He says, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? He came looking for Adam in his sinful state. And we see that all through Scripture. See it with Elijah. He's burnt out. He can't cope. He's hiding himself away in a cave. And the Lord comes. He says, what are you doing here then? What are you doing here? He's come looking for him in the desert. Meets him where he is. And redirects him back to where he needs to be. Doing what he needs to do. All of God's initiation. We see that with Thomas and with Peter. As I said to you, when I was 17, he came looking for me, but I wasn't looking for him. And why does he do this? Let's let the scripture speak for itself. Because I've given you sort of things that are not, that you need to research for yourself, really. Ephesians chapter 2. It says Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. But because of His great love for me, for you, for us, God, who is rich in mercy, that's one of those Hesed words, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions, in our sins. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God has raised us up with Christ and seated us in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus, that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Another grace word there. That He, who is so full of love and mercy, sends His Son for you and I. I can't move past that. What have I learnt? That His love is unfathomable. His love, His mercy, His forgiveness, His kindness, His patience. He's blessed me a time and time and time again. When I haven't deserved it, when really what I deserved was a good slap and told to go and stand and sit on the naughty seat. He's loved me with an everlasting love. He never left me or you, never forsaken us. He loves your pastor, he hasn't left or forsaken him either, has he? He's just there with him. He holds his hand. He's not alone. His wife's not alone. And you're not alone. He's there with us constantly. Never abandons us or leaves us. For back to John 1, verse 16, from the fullness or the abundance of His grace, we've all received one blessing after another. Grace upon grace. giving us what we don't deserve. Christ took what we deserved and he's given us what we don't deserve. We are loved, we are accepted, we are blessed by Almighty God. Isn't that fantastic? Well, I'm pleased anyway, I'm not sure about you lot. Let me finish by reading this to you. Ephesians chapter 2 still. Verse 8. For it's by grace you've been saved, through faith. And this not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not by works, not by trying harder, not by trying to self-improve, so that nobody can boast and say, oh, I'm good at this, aren't I? I've helped God out, I'm doing my bit. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. I find that quite mind-boggling. And yet, no, he interacts with us in such a mysterious way that we want to respond. Because grace causes me not just to rejoice, but to change and want to change. I am not the same, actually, as I was when I was 17 or even when I was 30. Step by step, grace moment by grace moment, grace upon grace, forgiveness upon forgiveness, loving kindness upon loving kindness, faithfulness when I'm not faithful. He draws us to a new place. And it causes something deep within us to say, I want to walk with you. I want to live the life for you. I want to follow you, Lord Jesus. Freely we've received. Freely give. So what have you learnt, Brian? You've learnt that freely I've received everything. All that I am, all that I might have been, all that I've achieved, positively, all the things I don't know, it's all of him. It's all of him. And if God can treat me that way, then I think I learned lots from Gareth sitting at the back as well over the years. His attitude to other people, I found to be really quite helpful. When I would want to write them off in the past, he wouldn't want to write them off. Because God never wants to write anybody off. Freely we receive that grace, then freely we should give it. Shouldn't we? Let's give that grace. If I've learned anything, let's be gracious to one another. So let's stop our moaning and complaining. You're very fortunate you're sitting in a church hall. Oh, it's not a church hall. It's an old school hall, really. But anyway, it's a hall. It's warm sometimes. Cold in the winter sometimes, but we're here. Aren't people with guns outside? Just be thankful for what we have. If the coffee's lukewarm, well, buy another coffee machine. Doesn't matter. Any of those things are unimportant. If the PA don't work properly, well, try and make it work properly. It doesn't matter, does it? Let's treat people with regard and respect, as God does. Shall we do that? Freely you've received, freely give. And then we can go in his name and share Jesus. That's a lovely old song. I bet you couldn't play that offhand, could you, without a practice? Freely you've received, freely. No. Next time I come, you'll have it next time. That's fine. Thank you so much. She loves working with me. I'm a real nightmare. Bruce Milne is a famous Baptist, John Baptist, theologian. And he wrote this about grace. He said, grace is God's loving response to our guilt and helplessness, stooping down to embrace the worthless and the lost. We see that in scripture. We see it in our own lives. Grace then is God's loving response to our guilt and helplessness, stooping to embrace the lost and the worthless. That included me. I've learnt that he's given me everything. And if he gives me breath to speak, I will. And if he doesn't, I won't. Some of you say, please, Lord, no more. No, don't pray that, Judith. If I was to say nothing else to you ever again, would you take hold of that word and say, Lord, yeah, it is all of you. You, Lord Jesus, are the giver of grace, abundant grace. You are the author of grace. You are the supplier of it. You are the one who comes looking for me. And we're eternally grateful. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, you know how life comes at us at times. You know when we go out and when we come in. You know all the difficulties that we face sometimes. You know when things don't appear to be right. But you still inspire us to step out with you. Just get out of the boat sometimes and walk on water. But Lord, even if we walk on the water, it's because you enable us to do so. You have made all things possible. Lord, help us to realise that we are loved and accepted by you. For you loved the world so much that you loved me and my brothers and sisters here so much that you gave your one and only Son. If we simply believe in you, we won't perish. We won't lose our way, but we will have eternal life in this world and into the next. Lord, just let your word settle in our hearts, we pray. Because your grace is simply amazing. Amen.